mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us in faith. Well, in last week's message, Jesus addressed the seriousness of how we need to consider our mission as reconcilers or ambassadors representing heaven here on earth. We need to take it seriously because the purpose for which Jesus came into the earth is to bring forgiveness to us, salvation to us, eternal life. And through this salvation he brings to us, we become living testimonies to what he has done for us. And so he calls us to live as living reconcilers in the world. So we look at three very serious points last week. The first was forgiveness, the lifestyle of the kingdom. And what we said about that is the kingdom's people must live in a rhythm of forgiveness. I said to reemphasize that we must wake up in the morning ready to forgive. We must wake up in the morning as living reconcilers, ready to forgive those who are have sinned against us. We have to have ourselves ready to do that. We have to put ourselves in default mode when it comes to forgiveness. Because a lot of Christians walk in unforgiveness. And when we walk in unforgiveness, we do not show that we truly understand what Jesus did on the cross for us when he died to bring us life. Then we talk about faith as the key to kingdom's living. The key to kingdom's living, we say faith is rooted and grounded in Christ. And the reason why we brought up this topic or this point is the fact that when Jesus told the disciples to forgive, seven times seven, whatever happens to them, they should keep forgiving. They said to him, but then if you need us to do this, you're going to have to increase our faith. And Jesus comes back and tells them that if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast, and will obey you. And I told you how deeply rooted the mulberry tree is in the ground. It is so deeply rooted, it is not easy to pull it out. And Jesus is using that as an illustration to let us know that as strong or as deep or as hard as a situation is for us to take care of, if we have faith just as small as a mustard seed, we'll be able to uproot that circumstance that is in our life. But he makes it clear that this faith is rooted in him. It is not something that we generate on our own. We have to be connected to him who is the vine to be able to experience this. The last thing we talked about was humility, which is the subject of today's message. We talk about humility and we talk about it as the attitude of the kingdom. That humility should be the attitude of the kingdom. We don't deserve it. Our service cannot pay for our salvation, Jesus says. So as we serve him, we should not do it boastfully. We should not do it looking for a reward from doing it, because the grace and salvation he brings to us, we cannot pay for it. We cannot pay back. So think about it. If any person on the earth was able to buy their salvation or earn it, I'm telling you honestly, Jesus would not have come down here. There would have been no reason for him to come, because there would have been a way for us to receive eternal life. But he had to come because there was no one here who was able to earn eternal life. So Jesus came. So as we serve in the kingdom of God, he says we must do it humbly, we must do it gratefully and gracefully. Do it as though we're doing it as unto the Lord because of what he has done for us. And so Jesus urges us in the text to be grateful because we don't deserve it and we cannot pay back. We are asked to serve with what? Gratitude. Gratitude is the subject today, the principle of gratitude is what we want to look at this morning. Because gratitude is one of the most beautiful attributes a person can possess, you know. It costs nothing. But it changes everything when a person becomes full of gratitude. It costs you nothing. It changes everything. It brightens our outlook. It deepens our faith. It draws us closer to the heart of God when we live in the spirit of gratitude. Gratitude turns ordinary moments into worship and hardship into opportunities to see God's hand at work. And that's what it does. So a grateful person doesn't need a perfect life to give thanks to God. A person who is truly grateful does not need a perfect life to give thanks to God. He or she finds every moment as an opportunity to give thanks to God. Every moment in your life, you find as an opportunity to give thanks to God. In Scripture, we see that those who live with thankful heart often experience deeper blessings from God. And so today in Luke 17 is the story of the 10 lepers. 10 lepers were healed, but only one returned to say thank you to the Lord. And that one act of gratitude distinguished him from the rest of the 10. When he came back, Jesus asked, it was 10 of you that got healed. Where's the other 9? He asked that question. It shows that God expects us to come back to him in gratitude when he does something good for us. When he does something for us, he wants us to praise him for that. He wants us to testify about his goodness. He wants us to express it out so that people can see and know that truly we have been blessed by God. God wants us to make it known. Notice he doesn't only receive healing, but this guy received what we call wholeness. We're going to look at that as we go further down in the story. He received wholeness, not only healing, but wholeness for returning to the Lord, as in the case of Ruth, who showed gratitude to Naomi, her mother-in-law. As it is written in the text, in the Old Testament text that was read this morning in the first service, Ruth showed gratitude to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was married, and she moved from Jerusalem because there was farming in the land, and moved to a place called Moab. And she moved to this place, and she and her 2 sons and her husband were living down here, and then the husband died, certainly. And suddenly he was gone. She's left with the 2 sons married to 2 beautiful ladies. And after a few years after they married, the first son died, second son died, she's left alone. And so she decides to return to Jerusalem because things were getting better down there now. She wants to go back. She tells the 2 daughter-in-laws, I'm going back. You guys go back to your parents, and I'm going back to Jerusalem. And the daughters said, no, we're not going to leave you. We want to go with you. And then she explains to them, I cannot take you with me because I'm not going to have other sons. And even if I had other sons, you guys are not going to wait until they grow up and get old to get married to them. If you wait, you might get old and not be able to get your own children as well. So go back to your parents. But Ruth said, no, I am not leaving you. She said, where you go, I will go. And where you die, that's where I'm going to die. This is a lady who was grateful for what this woman was to her. And she says, I'm not leaving you. I'm following you. If you die, I die. If you live, I live. And she followed her back home to Jerusalem. Let's look at the story in the gospel, see how this all blends in. The first point this morning is gratitude produces perspective. Gratitude produces perspective. Let's look in Luke 17, verses 15 and 16. It says, one of them, this is the story of the 10 lepers, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, perspective in this context is to think about a situation in a wise and biblical way. That's what it's about. So when a situation takes place in our lives, our job as Christians is to think about those things that happen to us in wise and biblical ways. And that's why we will read verses in the Bible in Paul's writing where he would say something like, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever thing is of good report, if there be any virtue in it, he said, think about those things. And we often don't do that when we have especially problems in our lives. We don't look at it from that perspective. Notice how gratitude gives us new eyes to see God's hand in every situation in our life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We see God's hand in everything. A heart of gratitude says, all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Look at that word, that phrase, according to his purpose. According to God's purpose means that every person in this room under the authority of my voice came to life on the earth through the mighty hands of God. He put you in your mother's womb, and he wove you in that womb. And as he did that, he was planning your life as well. He had a plan for you, and that plan is in line with his purpose. Okay, God has a purpose for every life on the earth. Many of us make choices and we walk away from him and we go out there and do whatever we want to do. But you got to understand that even those people who are out there, far away and far removed from God, God still has plans and purpose for their lives. He wants them to come back so that they can understand what this purpose is, but it is embedded in God. And in order for us to get it, you have to be in God. And that's how it is. So God has a plan for all of us in this room this morning, according to his purpose. And sometimes in the purposes of God, we will find some problems. We will find trials. We will find tribulations. We will find distresses and illnesses. And all these things are working out for the good. But we have to find joy in the midst of these situations. Nine of them saw the miracle that was worked, and one of them saw the master of the miracle. That was the difference, okay? Nine of them saw only the miracle. They were after the miracle. Like many of us come to God in the church, and we just want him to do the good things for us. We're not so concerned about knowing him. We're not so concerned about knowing what his purpose is. We don't care about that. Just bless me, and that's all I want. You just give me the blessing, and I'm out of here. That's what we want. God is not up to that. God wants to bless us abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, above what you can think or imagine. But all we have to do is come to him with a willing spirit to receive that. Gratitude shifts our focus from what we've lost, listen, to what God has given us. Did you hear that? It shifts your focus from the things that you have lost to all of the things that God has given you. If you are grateful to the Lord, you will look back and count your blessings. We sing a song, count your blessings and name them what? One by one. Count your blessings and name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. God has done more than the problem that is standing in front of you. God has done more in your life than the situation that you have to face with right now that is causing you to think that you have been locked in. God has done more than you can even think or imagine. Ruth, grieving, recognized Naomi's love and God's providence in her life and decided to follow this woman because of all of the goodness that she had done in her life. Not looking at just the fact that her husband had died or Naomi's son was dead, so there was no connection between them any longer. She followed her to Jerusalem. And look at the blessed thing that God did when this woman followed her to Jerusalem. God gave her a husband. Not just a husband, but a man who was full of wealth. God gave to her. And this is what God wants to do. You see, Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, a grateful or cheerful heart is good medicine. A grateful or cheerful heart is good medicine. Do you like good medicine? Anybody in here likes good medicine? You know how it is. When you go online and you're looking for a supplement, you want to know just how good this supplement is. You go to the comment section and you look at what people are saying about this supplement. And you look at all the good stuff they're talking about it. Then you go and you put in your order. And you can't wait for it to come home so that you will swallow that thing so that it will start working in your life. God is telling us this morning that gratitude, a cheerful heart, is good medicine. And so why don't we take on being cheerful and being grateful and look for a reason to give praises to his name? I heard a story quite recently about a little boy who was kidnapped. And when the boy was kidnapped, the whole time he was in the car with these people, the kidnappers, he was giving praises to God. A little seven-year-old boy knew how to give praises to God in the face of adversities. He was giving praise to God, singing this one song over and over and over and over. He would not stop singing the song. When it stops, he picks it up again. And the kidnappers got confused, and they threw him out of the car. That's what God is able to do when we put our praises on. And that's what a cheerful heart will do. It is a good medicine. It will bind those brokenness inside of us and bring us to that place of joy and peace in the Lord. So when we learn to thank God in all things, not just for all things, but for everything, our perspective changes. And you see, gratitude helps us see that even in difficulties, God is still good and still working. So God is good and all of the time. You didn't say it like you mean it. Let's say it one more time. God is good and all of the time. Come on, give him a hand of praise this morning. God is truly good. So we talk about God's gratitude produces perspective. Let's look now at how gratitude promotes peace. Scripture says in Luke 17, verse 19, then he said to them, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus told the leper that his faith had made him well. His gratitude brought him more than physical healing. This is what the scripture is telling us. Brought restoration to his life. Okay? So the other 10 ran to town and they left Jesus alone. This one guy, the story went this way. Jesus meets them. He tells them, go show yourself to the priest. You see, this is Jesus giving instructions to the 10 lepers. He didn't heal them instantly on the spot, but he tells them, go and show yourself to the priest to test their faith. It's not that he couldn't heal them to where they were, but he told them, go and show yourself to the priest. You know why he said that? Because every time a person was healed from leprosy, in order for them to get acclimated into society, they had to go back to the temple, and the priest had to examine them and declare them clean to be able to get back into society. So Jesus tells them, go to the priest for examination. As some of us would get up and say, I'm healed. Look, I'm healed, but we don't want to go to the doctor to check so the doctor would tell us whether we're already healed or not. But Jesus tells them, go there so that the priest will be able to determine whether or not you're healed. They're walking, going. The leprosy is still on them. They're walking. In the middle of the journey, instantly all of them got healed. All of them got cleansed. And they were so excited and couldn't wait to get to town, couldn't wait to get to the temple to go and show themselves to the priest. And while they were on their way, one of them stopped and said, hey, no, I'm going back. I'm going back to give thanks. I'm going back to show my gratitude to the one, to the blesser, to the healer, the one who healed me. I'm going back to him. Folks, when we come to church on Sunday morning, let's take some time to bless God for his goodness in our lives. Even when we are going through difficult moments, even in the worship service, think about the good things God has done already and give him praise and honor for that. Forget about that problem. Forget about that problem. Because God wants to bless us. He wants to restore our lives and bring it back to wholeness. Because of his gratitude, Jesus didn't only heal his body, he restored his life. Your faith has made you well, Jesus says. This speaks of a redemption of lost time. Listen to this. Your faith has made you well. It speaks of the redemption of lost time. That's what Jesus would do for anybody. Time waits for no man. Jesus says in the gospel, work while it is day. He says, because night is coming when no one will be able to work. Do you know what that tells you? It tells me and you that we have just this limited amount of time on the earth. And some of us waste it. Jesus says, work while it is day. Because night is coming when no one is going to be able to work. So time is a very essential commodity that God has given to us. So Jesus says, work it, use it. But life has a way of robbing us of the little time we have. Do you know that? How does life rob us of this little time? One, by means of distraction. Distractions. Many of us get distracted, especially with all of the social media outlets we have today. Do you calculate the number of hours you spend on your phone going through all of the outlets? And some of y'all got all of them. You got Instagram, TikTok, TikTok, all these things. You got all of them. Everything that comes up, you download it to the phone. Now you got to go through all of those things every day to check and see what's going on. By the time you get done doing all of that, you wasted half of your life, time, and span on earth. So we get distracted. And it causes us not to see God and see what God wants to do in our lives. Distraction is one way through which that happens. The next one is procrastination. We procrastinate, okay? Some of us just sit there And every time this one thing God has put on your mind to do comes to your mind, you say, I'm going to work at it. I'm going to find the time to do this. I'm going to work at it. But you fail to realize the time is passing. And this is the reason why in the cemetery today, you got books that were never written, songs that were never sung, poems that was never written, sermons that were never preached, because people were sitting, waiting, procrastinating while time was passing by. We need to be cautious about that. And the third thing is sometimes illness will stop us from carrying or enjoying the time that God has given us, as in the case of these 10 lepers. Illness. They were sick. They had leprosy. When you have leprosy, you cannot live among society. So they were robbed of time. And so Jesus Christ now is restoring the years that these guys, restoring their lives. But as he did that, instead of coming back to give him thanks, they went into town with the thought in mind, we have to catch up with time. We have to catch up with things, the things that we left behind for all these times that we could not do. We have to hurry up and go and do it. And they ran to town without Jesus. But one man went back to Jesus. So Jesus tells him, your faith has made you well. You know what the word well means? It means wholeness. He says, your faith has restored you. What that means is all of the years that this guy lost as a result of being sick, Jesus Christ is restoring it to him. Okay? So he's going to get everything. And you say, how? Because he has the ability to restore both life and time. Jesus has the ability to do that. Look in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, where he says here. He says, so I will restore you the years that the swarm locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I send among you. So Jesus is telling them about all the different kinds of these. I don't want to go into this because it's going to take a whole sermon to preach just this one text and talk about all these locusts that he's talking about in this text. All these locusts have different functions in life, but they are destructive. And Jesus is saying that they will destroy you and destroy your time and destroy all that I give to you. He says, but I have the ability to restore it in the remainder of the time that you have on earth. And this is what he's doing for this one guy. Your faith has made you whole. Ungratefulness is the hallmark of many Christians who fail to realize that God is into the restoration business. Okay? Ungratefulness. We will spend time complaining about everything, the one thing that is not right. And we will forget to look at all the other things that God has done. And that's the attitude of Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know. When God placed them in the garden, there were thousands of trees to eat from. But there were one tree that God says, don't eat from it, because if you eat from this tree, you will die. I don't know why she kept going to this tree. She was curious and wanted to know, why does it want to eat? Look, the fruit looks so nice on this tree. Why can't we eat this tree? Why can't we try this tree? She went there with her own assumptions about life, with her own interpretation about life, and she's there critically thinking about this tree. And so because of that, the evil one was able to come and penetrate and tempt her into eating from this one tree. That's how we do. When the problem shows up in our lives, we forget about all the other things that God has done. And we just zero in on this one problem. And then God doesn't seem to be good anymore. And we complain about him. If God is so good, then why? Why? If God is so good to me, why? And we build a doctrine upon that, which is going to drive us further away from God. But when these problems show up in our lives, we need to learn to look back. Look back at God and look back at his goodness and all of the blessings that he brings to us. And then give him praise and honor for his goodness in our lives. I told you the other day, sometimes I just walk up and down my house from the up to the basement and thanking the Lord for the things that's in my house. I thank him for it. Because I come from a country that went through a civil war, and I lost everything that I own. When I came to this country, I came with just a bag on my shoulders. And over the years, God took me from place to place, connected me with people and people. And just, he's done so much for me that when I sit and look at his goodness and all that he has done for me, I cannot do anything else but to give him praise and thanks because he's a good, good God. And when the church starts thanking the Lord like this and looking at God like this, it changes everything about us. So we look at the gratitude, how gratitude produces perspective, how gratitude promotes peace. Lastly, let's look at how gratitude prepares for promotion. Look in Luke 17, verse 19. It says the same verse. Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The 9 lepers received a miracle and went their way. They were content with the blessing and not the blesser. Okay? When you see folks run to church to come and get the blessing, they ain't coming to find the blesser. That's a situation like this we find here. But the one with a grateful heart enter into a new relationship with the Lord. Gratitude brings us closer to the Lord. It helps us admire God. It helps us admire God and praise him for all the other 99 blessings that he placed in our lives. When you start thanking God for the good things that he's done, you won't have time to be thinking about the one thing he hasn't done yet. Because by the time you run through your list of goodness, okay, you won't have time to come and think about the one thing. Then it's going to just draw you closer to the Lord, and you're going to just admire the Lord the more. You will say stuff like, "I'm sick, but I thank the Lord that I am still alive. I am sick, but I thank the Lord that he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. And I'm up this morning and feeling a little sore, but I thank God that I can put my one foot in front of the other foot, and I can use my hands and my voice and my eyes and my ears." You will give God praises for these things. When the Bible says that God supplies our needs, those are the needs that we need to survive, to be able to breathe, to have oxygen. God provide that. Have you thought about it for 1 second? If God ran out of oxygen, have you thought about it? What would happen to the earth? But since he created this world, there has always been oxygen. It's always been there so that we can live and survive. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Even during our bad circumstances, God is still good. So gratitude transforms our faith from transformational to relational. We get into a relationship with the Lord when we are in gratitude and we have grateful spirit and we come into relationship with God. Gratitude shifts from just asking God for things to adore him for who he truly is. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. You've got to know that God exists when you come to him. You've got to understand that we have a God who has hands and can move them. You have to understand that we have a God who have eyes and can see. You got to understand that we have a God who has mouth and can speak and can create and can change circumstances around for the good. You have to believe that when you come to God. Don't come figuring it out. Don't come trying to try him out. Don't try him or believe him because he's real and he's there for you and he's there for me. When we look at this story, we see gratitude as a magnet to God's favor. Gratitude is a magnet to God's favor. When we act in gratitude and we are always thankful and cheerful, it brings us closer to the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Look at what God says. "He who honors me, I will honor. He who honors me, I will honor." Let's learn to honor God in our lives. When things are not going bad, we spend too much time on the phone explaining about the ugly things. Yes, we get on the phone with our loved ones, our family, our friends, and we just explain about what is bad and ugly. We spend a lot of time on it, trust me, talking about the bad things. And it brings such joy to us to talk about the bad things. Whereas the bad things draw us away from God. How about you getting on the phone and explaining to somebody about the good things? Because you got more good things to talk about than you have bad things to talk about. Talk about that. And bless God for his goodness. I see some people just smiling because it seems like I'm talking directly to them. But this is true. And so why is gratitude so important? I'm coming close on this. It is important because it guards the heart from pride and entitlement. That's why it is important. Let's look in Daniel 4, verse 30. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He is the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar comes up on his palace, at the top of his palace one morning, and he looks out at a distance, and he sees this beautiful city called Babylon. And look at the words he said. He said in Daniel 4, verse 30, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" But God had a response to that. God had a response to that. You see, some people carry the idea that Babylon was a pagan nation, so God didn't own it. Folks, this shows that God owns everything in the world. God owns every place. There is, I don't care what kind of God they are serving, that place is owned by God. He created it, and he created those people as well. Look at Jesus, God's response to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 31, he says, the Bible says, while the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. "It is declared to you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from mankind to live with the beasts of the field, and you will feed on grass like an ox. And seven times will pass you by until you acknowledge that the Most High rule over the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whom he wishes." God rules over everything, folks. And he shows this to us right here in the life of this pagan king who thought that the power and the dominion was in his hands. God speaks and tells him, "I have power and I have dominion over all of the lands." And why is God asking us to be grateful? Because gratefulness showcases God's sovereignty. Let me say that one more time. Gratefulness showcases God's sovereignty. No matter what is going on, God wants us to remain assured that he is in control. When you understand that God is in control, you understand God's sovereignty. He has sovereign power over all of us. And do you know that the Bible says before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew us? You know what that knowing is? He knew all of the good times you would have on earth. He knew all of the bad times we would have on earth. And that's why every time I have an obstacle in my life, especially for those of us who trust in the Lord, when I have a problem in my life, I think about this text. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. He knows about this. He knew that this was coming. It's surprising me, but he is not surprised by it. And because he's not surprised by it, I am not going to be burdened by it because God already has me in the palm of his hands. And I pray that these kind of encouraging attitude is going to change our responses and approaches to these problems when they show up in our lives. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that he will never bring you this far and leave you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.